A global push to stop multinational corporations shifting profits to tax havens continued in New York this week with the latest round of negotiations about a UN framework convention on international tax cooperation. The global tax take could go up by $500 billion a year under the new model, according to the Tax Justice Network. And our next guest says that the UN agreement could be the most consequential overhaul of the global tax system in nearly a century. Though that assessment comes with a significant two-word qualifier, if adopted. Jyoti Ghosh is Professor of Economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. I'm very pleased to say she joins us now. Welcome, Professor Ghosh.
Thank you so much.
Jyoti, what are the current international tax rules and how is it that they let companies move profits offshore with such apparent ease?
You see, these current rules for international taxation were developed about a century ago when multinational companies simply weren't as important as they are today and when very rich people couldn't move their money to tax havens. So they're really unfit for purpose today. They assume that every subsidiary of a multinational is a separate company. So Apple Spain is different from Apple Australia, it's different from Apple US, it's different from Apple China. And so they can say, or rather Apple Australia can say, that, well, I'm making a lot of revenue in Australia, but in fact, I can't have any profits in Australia because I have to pay all of these other payments to Apple Ireland, such as interest on some loans I've taken from them and patents I have that they have, which I have to pay for, and various other things. In other words, what they do is what's called profit shifting. They shift the profits to low tax jurisdictions. And that means that they can get away without paying much tax in countries where they're economically very active, whether they're selling a lot or producing a lot, or even have many users in the case of digital companies. So what that has meant is precisely this massive loss in tax revenues. In fact, the rich countries are losing the most because they have the most in terms of sales and other things that are being, if you like, tax avoided. But developing countries, while they lose less in absolute terms, proportionately they lose more. In fact, in many countries, the new rules would actually double the corporate tax revenues that many, many lower income countries are getting.
So what is it about these new proposed rules that would change this ability to shift profits?
It's basically embodied in what is called Article 5, which is about where the taxing rights should be allocated and tying these to objective factors like the sales or the number of workers or the natural resources that are taken. In other words, it's looking for the economic benefit that a company derives from a particular location. And it is saying that that location should be able to tax that company the same rate that it taxes its local companies. So it's not asking for a worse condition for multinationals. It's simply saying you should pay the same tax as the domestic companies do.
The figure of $500 billion in increased tax take does sound attractive. How realistic is it as a figure? Do we even know how it was calculated?
Yes. Well, you know, there are different estimates. The estimates range from about $460 billion to up to nearly a trillion. So it's true, we don't know fully exactly how much, but it really depends on how you measure the economic activity, the economic presence, as it's called. It depends also on the formula you take. So you could say, I'm going to base economic presence only on sales or users in the case of digital companies. Or you can say, I'm going to take a combination of sales and workforce, or a combination of sales, workforce, and the natural resource that is being extracted, which is very important for, say, Australia. So, in other words, these numbers vary not only because of the differences in the revenues and because we don't have full accounts of the revenues. I'll explain that in a minute. But also depending on the kind of formula you adopt in terms of taxing these different revenues.
And when you said we don't have full access to these accounts of revenues, why is that? And is that something that this UN process could fix as well?
Absolutely. You see, I mean, it doesn't actually say this, but you cannot do this particular measure, this what I have called pay where you play, approach rather than pay where, you know, you say you play. Doing that, you simply have to have country-by-country reporting by all multinational corporations. We should have clear accounts of the country-by-country reporting of that company in that location. And Australia, by the way, is actually a front-runner in this. You already have a public CBCR for selected what are called high-risk jurisdictions. The European Union has it as well. Now, really, every country in the world should get access to it, and it should be publicly available. What we have seen is that, you know, even countries where it's not publicly available, but you demand this country-by-country reporting, the effective tax rate on multinationals increases by around 1.5 percentage points. And that gives you tens of billions of dollars in additional revenue. If we made them public, the gains would be about twice that much in terms of additional tax revenue. And remember, that would also mean that developing countries, which are really short of resources at the moment and which are not getting any of the external resources that they need either, would be able to double their tax revenues from corporates.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with the University of Massachusetts Amherst Professor of Economics, Jyoti Ghosh. And Jyoti, as if asking you to explain the labyrinthine nature of global taxation wasn't hard enough, I'm now going to ask you to tell us about the labyrinthine nature of UN negotiations about them. What actually was taking place in the UN this week? How far through the process of adopting these new rules has the world got?
Well, you know, the UN process started really only a couple of years ago. Well, in fact, less than 2 years ago. And earlier, there were discussions at the OECD, which were led by the OECD countries, and then a whole bunch of other countries were kind of invited into the room, not necessarily sitting at the table, but in the same room, shall we say. The group of Africa realized that the way these negotiations were going was not really beneficial to developing countries because, again, you know, the definitions and the kinds of allocations that were made were excessively favorable to the rich countries. So they really pushed hard and succeeded in getting negotiations started for a UN tax convention, which is currently going on in New York. These negotiations are supposed to happen 3 times a year. What's going on right now is particularly important because Article 5, which is the one that really talks about this whole pay where you play issue, the issue of base erosion and profit shifting, as it's called. Article 5 has been negotiated over the past few days, and that's what's being negotiated right now. So it's absolutely crucial, along with illicit financial flows, which we all know are hugely costly, especially for lower income countries. This is labyrinthine, absolutely. There are many, many things. There are protocols, and there is an overall tax convention. So three separate tracks for negotiation. Two are protocols, for example, one on digital services, one on dispute settlement. But the tax convention negotiations themselves are, of course, hugely important because that will give the overall framework which allows countries to impose taxing rules, especially on multinationals, and ideally also eventually for very, very wealthy people who can get away with putting their money in tax havens. So right now, the negotiations at the UN, unfortunately, are going very much along rich country versus the rest of the world lines. And this is really unfortunate because, you know, people everywhere lose out. Citizens across rich and poor countries lose out when we give the benefits of all of these loopholes to rich companies and rich people. So it should not be a country versus other country thing. It should really be, do all the nations in the world want to make sure that there is fair taxation because they will have more revenues for their own citizens? Instead of that, what we are seeing is that the group of richer countries, led by the US, which is, of course, also bullied a bunch of the other countries into submitting, but the US, Western Europe, and sadly, even Australia, which otherwise, in its own case, really does want to enable some of the better taxation, are lining up against very loose rules that would allow a continuation of what's been going on already for the past several decades.
And when it came to the OECD process that you referred to earlier, America simply walked out of those at some point.
Yes. You know, the United States has a really bad role in international negotiations. And I regret to say that it's not just Mr. Trump who's responsible. This is a sort of sorry history of the US involvement. In the UN tax negotiations, they go in there and they keep pushing for a reduction in the requirements. They keep pushing for loosening the treaty. They keep pushing for giving in more to multinational corporations. And then in the final penultimate moment, they either walk away, and which they did in the case of this sharing rights of taxable rights, or in the case of the minimum tax, they originally accepted it. And then Mr. Trump came in and said, no, we don't accept it anymore. And you're not allowed to tax US multinationals according to this minimum tax. So like the COP negotiations on climate change, like many other negotiations, plastics treaty and others, unfortunately, the US has played quite a bad role because it goes in there and pushes to water down any conclusive agreement. And then finally, anyway, it rejects the agreement itself. What is sad to see is how other countries like Europe, like Australia, which really should know better and which should do better, falling in line with this US approach.
So finally, Jyoti, what prospect do you think there is that the new UN framework will actually be implemented and effective?
Let me say that, yes, it's a complicated and long process, but I think the very fact that we've got even to this point is remarkable. If you had asked me 3 years ago, will we have tax negotiations at the UN? I would have said probably not. If you had asked me a year ago, will we actually get down to something like Article 5, which is being negotiated at the moment, I would have said impossible. And yet here we are. We are actually negotiating this. Sure, there are interests reflecting the multinational lobbies, which are trying actively to water this down. But what we do need is active pushback from people in all of our countries. In other words, governments are responding to pressure from corporate lobbies. But they should be made to feel people pressure as well. That's the only way we can make sure that this finally happens.
Professor Ghosh, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Jyoti Ghosh is Professor of Economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.